Before I read scripture reading, this is my privilege and honor to introduce our guest speaker who will bring the message this morning, Pastor Winston James. Pastor Winston James. And I'd like just to say a few words about him, that we're glad to have him in this church, and this will be his first time preaching in this church. He comes from country in South Africa, South America, Guyana. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Guyana. Yes. He has three beautiful children. They all are here. And his wife is ministering. She has to be at the other church. I had a interesting privilege to get to know him through his father. It was about less than a year ago when the conference had a special meeting, special seminars, and I found out that someone from Capital City wanted to go, and we did a carpool, and it was Pastor Winston's father. So I had the privilege to for a couple hours to drive with him to Syracuse and then come back. So we visited, and it's interesting. I found out that Pastor Winston James was, when he was pastor in Guyana, he had the largest district. Sometimes you think that, well, pastor, we have four churches, we don't see you that often. You know how many churches Pastor Winston had back in Guyana, the largest district? 16. During potluck, you can ask him how often he visited those churches. But you can probably do the math. So we are blessed to have him here. I didn't mention that he is currently pastor of Capital City Seventh-day Adventist Church in Albany. So we're blessed to have you. And I invite us to tune our hearts for the message this morning by reading the scripture that's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. I will read from New International Version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Amen.
Good morning, Joy of Joy. A very happy Sabbath to all of you. And it's a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Kozloff, for your invitation. And I was certainly more than happy to be here. Elder Langley met me some time ago and said, Pastor, we would love to have you come preach for us sometime. And I came to the church twice before. We had a Father-Daughter's Day here, and we were very happy for you allowing us to use the church. And some time ago, you had a musical afternoon where there were groups singing and so on. You had a wonderful day. I was also here that afternoon for that program, and I really did enjoy it. So it's a pleasure for me to be here and be in the service today. And I trust that God's Holy Spirit will speak to each of us as we study his word today. Just want to pause for a minute so that we can pray for Eric and Candy before we go into our service. I'd like to invite you to kneel as we pray. Out there in South America, our conference is very huge. It's sprawling over 83,000 square miles our conference covers. And so there are churches way up in the dense forest areas of our conference, and there are churches miles and miles up into our huge rivers. And so pastors serve in all of these areas, mountainous areas. I once served in one district where to move from one church to the other, you walk for 3 days. There were 7 churches in that district. And so to get from one church to another, you walk. And so some of the elders and some of the deacons sometimes will accompany me as we walk over mountain and through forest from church to church. And as I move around, you know, you go from one church to the other, you spend some days, and then you move on to the other church. But of course, the largest district in the conference has 16 churches, and incidentally, that was the last district I served before coming to the United States of America. Some of the guys will tell me, maybe that's the reason why you came. I enjoyed it so much. But of course, you know, the brethren would not see you until after 16 or sometimes more weeks because you move from church to church. God has been good. Our conference presently has over 55,000 members, and the work is growing. The work is really growing, and God has really blessed tremendously. And so we are happy to be here today. My kids and I. My wife is at another church. She and some other sisters from our church there in Albany. They are visiting another church today for their Women's Ministries Day, and so they are over there with us. So she's not here today with us, and you will see her sometime again as we come some other time to visit. Let us turn our attention to the Word of God. I've chosen to entitle our message for today, Gut Busters for the Overweight. In our world today, there is very much talk of obesity and being overweight. This seems to be the number one problem in the US, in Europe, and just about everywhere. The statistics are very high when dealing with obesity. For matter of fact, in 2007, among adults in the United States of America, it is reported that 64.5% of the adults in this country are overweight. In 2008, we read of the obesity rates among children 6 to 19 of being between 16 to 33%. And so obesity is certainly a major problem. And so the business of getting slim fast is doing very well. They tell us, rub it on, drink it, eat it, inhale it, put it on, and sometimes a combination of all of these in order to get slim. But you know, counsels and diets and foods, page 59. Mrs. White has, do we believe in the spirit of prophecy? Okay, thank you very much. I had to ask that question because, you know, there are some churches that don't. Some people don't. Mrs. White says something very interesting in Counsels on Diets and Food, page 59. She says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who overcome as Christ overcame will need to constantly guard themselves against the temptation of Satan. The appetite and passions should be restricted and under the control of an enlightened conscience, that the intellect may be unimpaired, the perceptive powers clear, so that the works of Satan and his snares may not be interrupted, to be the providence of God. I think I made some error there. So that the workings of Satan and his snares may not be interpreted to be the providence of God. The control of appetite is very important if we will guard the avenues of the soul. Mrs. White says that if we do not control appetite, not only will we have a problem with being overweight, but we will misinterpret the voice of Satan to be the voice of God. Very important. And so being overweight is certainly something that we would want to be very, very careful about. But you know, that's not what we want to talk about today. The book of Hebrews is, we believe, written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul writes in Hebrews that we should be careful with one thing above others. He says, wherefore, reading from the King James Version, seeing we also are compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of what? Every weight and do what? You're not there as yet. Okay, let's go to Hebrews. I would like for you to go to Hebrews. I would like for us to look at this together. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm reading from the King James Version. You may have a different version, but it will say the same. We are there now. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul is asking that we lay aside every weight. Paul is using language that is very familiar to those in Rome as he writes. Of course, you know, in Rome is where the grand athletics championships began, Olympics. And so Paul, as he ministered in Rome, he would very often see the athletes as they prepare for their events. As he looked at them, he would notice that as they train for these events, they will strap around their bodies, their arms and their legs, they will strap around themselves pieces of weights, extra pieces of either hard plastic, or they will use metal. They will strap these onto their body as they train for their events. But on the day when the finals came, Paul would notice that these athletes will take off these extra weights. And as they get to the starting line, naturally, if they were running at 10 seconds for the 100 meters with the weights on, now that the weights are off, they can run much faster. So Paul uses this scenario to teach us a spiritual lesson. Most of us might be obese spiritually. Many of us may be overweight spiritually. Every one of us have on us extra pounds that we should not have. What are these pounds? Paul says the sins that are in our lives are extra pounds. And so he admonishes us to be like the athletes. We should know that from the moment we give our lives to Jesus, we are not in the trials. We are not in the practice time. From the time we give our lives to Jesus, every Christian, every child of God has entered the finals. For the Christian race, there is no practice. And so as we give our lives to Jesus, day by day, Paul says, we should lay aside the extra weight. The extra weight of sin. For some of us, it might be gossip. For others of us, it might be envy. For others, it might be hatred. That neighbor who keeps making noise and who keeps doing everything that is so getting to us, and we hate that neighbor so much, we wish that he was dead. For others of us, as we studied this morning in the Sabbath school lesson, for others of us, it might be not keeping God's Sabbath holy. As was brought out in the lesson in Isaiah 58, we might be engaged in our own thing on God's holy Sabbath. We might be doing everything else but what God wants us to do. When it comes to sunset, one sister said that as she grew up as a child, her parents would encourage and would practice that at least half an hour before the Sabbath, they are ready to welcome God's Sabbath. Paul says, put aside the extra weight of sin. For others of us, it might be for others of us, stealing. But why am I telling Seventh-day Adventists that stealing might be a problem for some of us? Oh yes, we steal God's time. We steal God's money. We even steal from our workplaces. When we do not return, we do not give honest work. And there are many of us who are guilty of doing that. We write in our time sheets 8:15 when we arrived at work at 9. Or we asked a friend to write in our time even when we were not there. How about pride and selfishness? How about visiting the room or the house that you should not be visiting? Okay. I realize that we have a very holy and righteous congregation. Paul says there are some of these extra weights that are in some of us that we ought to get rid of so that we can be ready to run the Christian race. My brothers and sisters, if we do not get rid of the extra weight that keeps us back, we cannot run the race. I would want to suggest and submit that if we have extra weight, then we are wasting time in the ways. Because Jesus is at the finish line. And at the finish line, only those who would have put off the extra weight will be ready to receive the prize. The finish line, Jesus is waiting, but he's only waiting for those who would have daily made the sacrifice and daily struggled and fought against self and the carnal nature of man. And every one of us have that, so that we can get rid of those things that are unlike Christ, and we can run, as Paul says, with patience. Along the road, there are obstacles. You know, as you look at the hurdler, you see him jumping over every hurdle. The Christian race is like that. Every hurdle is an obstacle. And sometimes we have to jump. Sometimes we have to go around. Sometimes we have to go under. But we have to get past the obstacles along the way. And as we run, Paul says, don't be overly stressed. Don't be worried. Just be patient, because Jesus will give you enduring power. The Bible says that if we wait on the Lord, he shall renew our strength. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. Just be patient, and God will give you enduring power to finish the race. Very unfortunately, there are some who begin the race but would not end the race. But by God's grace, my prayer is today that Jesus will help you to, number one, get rid of the extra weight, the sin that easily besets you and me. It calls for patience. It calls for sacrifice. It calls for self-denial in order to get rid of the extra weight. God will give you grace, but we've got to deny self, because the extra weight will cause us to not finish the race. Why should we get rid of the extra weight? Paul says, because we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. You see, saints of God, from the moment you say yes to Jesus, eyes are on you. There are eyes in church. There are eyes out of church. There are even eyes in heaven. Remember some years ago, I was told a little story about a little boy who asked an older man if God can see him everywhere. And the older man said, yes, son, God can see you everywhere you go. God can see you. So the little boy said, can God see me if I go in the basement? Said, yes, son. Can God see me if I go under the water? Yes, he can see you there. But can God see me even if I die and I'm buried in the earth? Said, yes, son, God can even see you in the earth. God can see you everywhere. Paul says, there are eyes on you, because everywhere around you there are witnesses, and they're looking at you. There's some who are younger. They're looking at you for an example. An example in righteousness, an example in Christian living, an example in good conduct, an example because you are an ambassador of Christ. Paul says, as you walk this road, as you run this race, do it with patience, but also know that there are eyes on you. And they are looking to you for an example. You need to put off the extra weight, finally, because God has gone to prepare a place for you. There is no better reward that we can have than that. He is sitting on the right hand of his Father in glory. He is waiting for the right time, for the Bible declares that in a little while he that shall come and will not tarry. Jesus Christ himself shall descend from heaven with a great shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Thank God, those of us who run with patience, those of us who got rid of the extra weight, those of us who were lean and mean, those of us who lived for Jesus, who persevered through hard times, Jesus will say, yes, enter in the joy of my Lord. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory, and he's waiting to give the prize for those who make it to the finish line. Friends and saints of God, the joy of Troy, I want to ask you one question. What is there in your life that you will rather hold on to in exchange for the prize that God has for you? Is there anything in your life that you will rather hold on to and lose the prize? The Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Paul says, nothing will separate me, neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things past, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing will separate me from the love of Jesus. Is that your desire today? If you desire today, by God's grace, if you promise today by God's grace, and with his help, to not get slim fast, it will not happen. It's not going to happen by rubbing it on or drinking it or eating it. It will happen only by prayer, by Bible study, and by witnessing to others. That's how you get slim in Jesus. My prayer is today that by God's grace, I will lay off every extra weight, so that nothing will prevent me from running this race. And that I can look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. And that when he comes, I can hear from him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to ask you, is that your desire today? Is your desire to take out from off of you everything that prevents you from running for Jesus? If it is, why not bow your head with me as we pray? Loving Jesus, we thank you so much for reminding us that around us are a cloud of witnesses, not just a few, but a cloud of witnesses. They are looking at our every action. They are hearing our every word. Oh, Father, help us to be conscious of this. And help us, Lord, to take off from us the weight of sin For greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Help us, Lord, to know that you are able for every ounce of sin. You have a pound of grace. We do not have to live holding on to these things. Help us, Lord, to understand that we do not have to continue in sin, for you offer a way of escape. Oh, Father, help us to get rid from our lives everything so that we can run with patience, that by your grace we can make it to the finish line. We can receive the prize, life eternal with Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.